The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
I don't know if you've heard this. I'm not sure how widely this conversation has been held. But there's been some sentiment that what made the NFL move last week on Black Lives Matter, what made the NFL change its position, was the video put out by players all demanding change. But the conversation that hasn't been widely held is there was one person in that video, one name, that was the most influential. By some accounts, the most famous player in the NFL. Some suggest it's Patrick Mahomes that changed the NFL. And that led us on the Will Cain Show to asking, is Mahomes the most significant figure in the NFL? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on ESPN News presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776 on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Coming up on today's show, I've got a lot I want to talk to you about. Many are demanding Jerry Jones jump into the conversation about social change in the United States of America. Where is Jerry Jones, they ask. And I ask, why would he jump in? He'd only be asking for trouble. Plus, a fun conversation on which college football programs, in terms of coaching, fall into tier one, tier two, tier three. Would you, if you were a big-time college football coach, leave Texas A&M for USC? Would you leave Auburn for the University of Texas? Which programs are programs that you trade up for? Which are truly tier one programs versus tier two programs? That's coming up a little bit later here on the Will Cain Show, but it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Is Patrick Mahomes the most famous player in the NFL? It's a serious subject that led to this question. It is what made the NFL switch its position on player protests. And for many, the answer to that is, it's Patrick Mahomes that made them switch. Jason Reed of The Undefeated introduced this idea that it was one name, one face, one voice that made them move. Here's what he said on NFL Live.
I talked to so many coaches and executives over the weekend who told me that the fact that he said those words, Black Lives Matter, the fact that he did that on that video and partnered with the other players, including Deshaun Watson, it fundamentally changed what the conversation was going to be in the corridors of power in the NFL. That Roger Goodell at that point had really no choice but to say, hey, we have got to look at this differently. And a lot of people I talked to through the years about the hiring situation in the NFL and other things have always told me that Roger's on the right side of this, but there's only so much he can do. But when Patrick Mahomes did that, I had one executive say to me, the second he saw Patrick Mahomes in that video, he knew Roger was on the clock with the owners. They had to do something.
Now, the conversation is a serious one, and one we'll continue here today on the Will Cain Show. It's always an open forum, and we'll go back and forth together on the serious issues that this nation must address. But on a much lighter note, that led us down a rabbit hole conversation here on the Will Cain Show with this question. Is Mahomes the face of the NFL? Is Patrick Mahomes the most famous player in the league? If not, it's really close. We started talking about the names, just brainstorming it like we always do. Let's set our big board. Who is capable of being in the debate? And it's not very hard to realize it's going to be a quarterback. Your most famous players in the league are going to be quarterbacks. In fact, as a quick tangent, try to think of the most famous non-quarterbacks. It's really difficult. And fame is interesting because I don't know how you measure it, but general recognizability, endorsements, advertisements, Q rating, pop culture significance. It's hard to find non-quarterbacks. I guess you would come back to J.J. Watt probably being the most famous non-quarterback in the league. Richard Sherman might be up there. He hasn't been on Saturday Night Live, to my knowledge, like J.J. Watt. And that's just one small marker. Odell Beckham Jr.'s up there on non-quarterbacks. Here in sports media, we do know which guys move the needle. That's a little secret behind the scenes. We know which subjects and which figures provoke not just the most reaction, but the highest ratings. And Odell is a Tier 1 status name and subject to be discussing. Nuno tried to tell us that Saquon might enter the conversation, to which we all said, hey, Saquon might be one day, but I really have no clue what Saquon's personality is like right now. I know he's a great running back. He seems to be a good dude. I have no idea what Saquon's personality is. So I don't know that he's even in the conversation. It's probably J.J. Watt, but the real answer to the question of who the most famous player in the NFL is will come down to quarterbacks. And when you're setting your big board for that, there's only three or four names, I think, in contention. Oh, don't get me wrong. We can get to seven names, but do any of them have a real shot at being the answer to the question? Let's just talk about a few. Drew Brees, his name recognition has certainly gone up over the last couple of weeks. And obviously, not all for positive reasons, but Drew Brees, a Hall of Fame quarterback, a Hall of Fame humanitarian and philanthropist, an all-around good dude who has been attacked in pop culture over the last couple of days, is undoubtedly one of the most famous players in the league. You know who else is? Baker Mayfield. Now, before you freak out, it's not really a ranking of who the best athletes or quarterbacks are. Baker's in commercials left and right. Stephen A. Smith made a joke about he's in more commercials than he has wins in the National Football League. Baker is a star. I mean, I don't think he's probably a top five quarterback star in the league, but he's up there. Oddly, Russell Wilson is not. I mean, Russ is a great quarterback. He's probably the second best quarterback in the league, but I don't think you can make a strong argument that Russ is the face of the league or Russ is one of the most famous players. In fact, I don't think Russ makes the top five. Here's probably your top five most famous quarterbacks in the league. At five, I would say Lamar Jackson, but I actually think that's close with Baker Mayfield. If you put any kid, young kid, in front of a PS4, he's going to choose the Ravens and he's going to choose Lamar Jackson as his quarterback. Kids know who Lamar Jackson is. Obviously, he's an MVP, and that expands your name recognition. But as of yet, you don't see Lamar in advertisements, endorsements, at any great national level. I think Lamar is getting famous, but I don't think he's yet reached the level some of these other guys have. I think Aaron Rodgers is probably number four. I give you State Farm commercials. I think Dak Prescott is number three. Back to what we know drives ratings, let me be clear about something Dak Prescott does. Don't be cynical about why some or will not talk about Prescott. It's just a fact. Now, if he weren't a Cowboy, would it be the same way? Probably not, but he is. And so, he becomes one of the most divisive quarterbacks in the league in terms of measuring his quality of play, his ranking in the league, his contract situation, but with Campbell's Chunky Soup and other advertisers, Dan and Yogurt lining up, Dak Prescott is one of the most famous players in the NFL. I have him as, I think, the third most famous player. And this gets us finally to our question. I don't think Mahomes is the most famous player in the league. I think he's probably number two. Maybe he's the most influential. Maybe he's the best, but I don't think he's the most recognizable. I don't think he's the most famous. I think that's still that question and its answer belong to Tom Brady, whose off-season movements, the mystery about where he would land, his signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers absolutely drove a news cycle for months, if not years, on end. Still to this day, I think your most famous player and your face of the league is Tom Brady. But Patrick Mahomes might be coming up fast. That's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. You can let me know what you think. 888-729-3776. Many here on ESPN and other places are calling for Jerry Jones to speak out on the issues across this nation. I would suggest that's probably a no-win proposition. The game, by the way, has been rigged. If you speak out, you better say exactly what they want you to say. Otherwise, you too will be in the crosshairs. That's coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically, all on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Can't get enough of Will Kane.
You have a great show, and you're a good-looking dude.
Call him at 888-SAY-ESPN.
Man, you have a great show. All right, man. I always listen to you. So you're a good-looking guy.
Many are calling for Jerry Jones to speak out on the social issues being debated. Better yet, not debated. But being preached and then hectored for dissidents across this nation. It's a no-win proposition. I'm about to show you why. It's the Will Kane Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Let me start with an illustration. Let me go to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, where we have B from Los Angeles on the phone. Now, what I'm led to believe, B, is you have told my producers, Nuno, that by ranking the most famous athletes in the NFL and placing Tom Brady above Patrick Mahomes, I'm being divisive, B?
No. See, you got it wrong. You got to listen to what I'm saying. The commercial that the black players did in unity to stand for Black Lives Matter with against the NFL so that they would recognize it, by you saying who's the most popular is a very divisive action. And I'm you guys, meaning the white America, those in charge and power, et cetera, are asking what can we do to support. What you can do is not divide the players who stood in unity for one cause. You want
to
pick apart.
If I have a conversation about who's more famous than the other, if I analyze one person's Q rating or fame against another, and those two individuals happen to be from different races, I am being divisive in that situation, B?
It's not about their Q rating. It's about the message that they collectively put together for a change. You dissipate the whole message. You dilute the message by saying who's more famous. You have to be more conscious than that.
And all right, B.
What you're doing is good for sports, but it's not good for America. You
okay,
understand? It's good for your talk, so it gives you something to talk about. But what you're doing, you're having like a little girl pick a part of who's the most famous person about in sports. Like, come on, this isn't kindergarten. This is sports.
Okay,
this is America. This is what's going on right now.
I got your point, B. I got your point. Thank you for the call. Forgive my anger. I find it incredibly, you know what, insulting to be preached at by someone to tell me to listen. That what I need to do is listen. That's what this nation is suffering from a lack of listening. When at the same time, you call into my show, one which broadcasts for 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, to tell me I'm not having the conversation that you want me to have at that given moment. If we're trying to analyze who's acting like a child in the situation, it might be the person who is constantly demanding the conversation be at every given moment on their terms. Being divisive. By having a conversation about who's more famous, Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady. I have spent hours upon hours talking about the issues in this nation. I am going to be a normal person. And I am going to follow a rabbit hole conversation about who's more famous. A, because it's a sports show. And B, because I want to. Does your closet have good acoustics, B? I think that's the real question for you at this moment in time. Does your closet have good acoustics? That's the one you should wake up with and go to bed with on a nightly basis. That's the one that is a real existential question for you. Do I have good acoustics in my closet? Because in that safe space, you can hear your voice bounce back to you, and you'll never hear disagreement nor a conversation that you do not want to be taking place. You will always hear the pretty sound of your own voice giving you back what you want to hear. Does your closet have good acoustics? It's the question for your lifetime. Should Jerry Jones step into this environment? Should Jerry Jones speak in a society that treats any conversation that diverges, not just from a universal agreement, but from subject matter variability? Should Jerry Jones step into that environment? Ryan Clark thinks so. Listen to this.
For Jerry Jones to come out right now and make a statement and say that Black Lives Matter, to make a statement and say that there needs to be change in this world, I feel that would be going against what he believes. See, Jerry Jones is doing what the owners do. Jerry Jones is focusing on the people that he cares about. Those are the people that sit in the rooms that he sits in. Those are the people that gets to make decisions on what those black faces do. He's going to stand where he's always stood. He's not going to let the pressure of society, the pressure of his players, or the pressure of actual people making changes. He's going to stay where Jerry Jones is. He's going to be on his yacht. He's going to be rich, and he's going to be white.
He's going to be rich, and he's going to be white. I've noticed the conversation change over the last week or so. I watched First Take. I watched Get Up this morning. I've watched on news channels as well. I've noticed that when asking for someone to make a statement, like many are asking Jerry Jones to do now, you're setting them up for a game to ultimately tell you, not unlike what B wants, exactly what you want to hear. Let me talk to you about some of the language. If he puts out a statement, we're going to hear things, and you can hear it all over ESPN airwaves or anywhere else, that it's not enough, a statement. That's a direct quote uttered by numerous people. It's, quote, not enough. You know what's not enough? It's not enough not to be racist. You have to be anti-racist. What does that mean, to be anti-racist? That means you have to step up against anything you perceive to be racist. And that sets up an odd game, because then we're on a chase, a hunt, even the opportunity to create racist out of whole cloth. People that we do not even individually believe are bad people, but in this moment where that's what you're doing, you need to be virtuous, you need to be anti-racist, then you must find those who are the racists so you can be anti-racist. I give you what's happened to Drew Brees and what has currently happened to Dabo Swinney. I heard Dominique Foxworth this morning say that's not enough either. You need to step up to some of these big policies that need change. So now it sounds like I have to agree 100% with a political cause as well. This is a perversion. This is not persuasion. And what it leads to, if you follow this mindset, is it leads to some absurdities, some absolute absurdities. You want me to give you some that have happened just in the last, I don't know, 48 hours? How about this? Cops has been canceled, the TV show, Cops, because it glorifies police officers. Live PD is currently being reevaluated despite its high ratings because it also glorifies police officers. Live PD, out. Gone with the Wind, pulled off of HBO Max. Christopher Columbus statues, pulled down and thrown into a lake in Richmond, Virginia, and a Christopher Columbus statue beheaded in Boston. Rex Chapman, a guy that I like and I follow, and I think is a good-hearted individual, tweeted today that if you say most cops are good cops, that's a racial litmus test, or I'm sorry, a racist litmus test. You see, we're veering out of control here. If you place anti-racism as the goal, and maybe even more, that I have to sign up for all your political policies as well, you have no check. Debate is good. Disagreement is good. Conversation is good, but we're shutting conversation down. Like B requests, I have to have the conversation that he wants on his terms. And by even saying that I'm not a racist, or living, more importantly, living like someone is not a racist, it's not enough. You have to be an anti-racist, and you have to go find these situations. Do you have a statue to tear down? Do you have a celebrity that said something wrong? Do you have a TV show that's not right? Why would Jerry Jones step into that environment? What would be good enough? You and I both know the answer. The answer is nothing, because it's not about his words, and it won't be about his actions. It will be about you. Did you find someone who validates that you're a good person by shouting them down as a bad person? 888-729-3776. You're always welcome to join the Will Cain Show and tell me where I'm wrong. This closet that I'm in does not have good acoustics. because you're my sounding board. 888-729-3776. Field Yates next on The Will Cain Show.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
This is Will Cain.
You can't walk through life that if something you say or something you champion offends one person, then you must stop, because you will not be able to do anything.
You should see my phone lines right now. I swear to you, I got multiple calls. I've got multiple mics who want to tell me I need to calm down a little bit. I'm willing to hear it. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. But right now on the shelf, Pinzo Performance Line. Pinzol synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable protection. The proof is in the Pinzol, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Is ESPN NFL insider and co-host of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, Field Yates, on the Will Cain Show. What's up, Field?
Will, how are you, man? Do I need to join you, join in on the masses or calling you crazy right now? I didn't realize I could burn up that third phone line. I'll do so if you need me to, though.
I don't know that it's crazy, although that's also possible, and I'm open to hearing that as well. Just that I need to calm down a little bit. I got a little hot under the collar, Field. Yeah, I did. It's true.
It happens every once in a while.
It does. It does happen every once in a while. Field Yates here on the Will Cain Show. Field has an article up on ESPN.com where he responded to a thought exercise, a draft, wherein everybody in the league was available to be drafted to the teams in the draft order of this last 2020 NFL draft. And what was interesting about that was, I think, the order that the quarterbacks went in. Dak Prescott went 6th, for example. He went in the top 10. Carson Wentz went a few picks behind Dak Prescott. Shockingly, Field, Drew Lock went like 15th before Kyler Murray and some other big names. When you looked at that list, did you think that your colleagues drafted those quarterbacks in the right order?
I thought it was fairly close, Will. If I had to sort of do the exercise myself and imagine what my own order of 1 through 32 would look like, then it would not be a direct facsimile of what we ended up with for the NFL Nation list. Let me just add a couple of pieces of context here. Each person had to draft with the idea of winning a Super Bowl within 5 years. And then beyond that is that there were 4 rounds in total. You had to take a quarterback, plus you had to take a defensive player, a non-quarterback offensive player, and then a wild card. So I think for those that maybe eschewed a quarterback in the first round, the idea was, hey, I can take a stud somewhere else and probably still end up with a close to league average quarterback in the second round. But you kind of nailed some of the biggest sort of talking points that I thought emerged from that 32 quarterback list. I thought what was interesting early was just how soon would Tom Brady and Drew Brees, guys who are both in their 40s, go, keeping in mind that 5-year window. And then Drew Lock was definitely the surprise of the first round. Now, Jeff Legwald, who took him, covers the Broncos, so he covers Drew Lock on a daily basis and probably has more confidence from seeing him more. But still, it just felt like with Kyler Murray and some of the other quarterbacks like Matthew Stafford, it was a veteran player available that was sitting there and still on the board, that Drew Lock was probably taken a lot earlier than I would have in my own list.
You know, in the media, certainly on the Will Cain Show, we have this constant debate of Dak versus Wentz. Who's better? And I think sometimes people think, oh, that's just talk radio. Anybody in league circles would take Wentz over Prescott. I know that there's some guys, like I believe Dan Orlovsky, who would tell me that that's the case. So I was a little bit surprised to see that when it came time to drafting, I believe it was with the 9th overall pick, the Jaguars selected Prescott with Wentz on the table. Do you think within league circles, I'm talking about people in football, not media members, that debate is close? Does it lean one way or another?
Well, I think they would probably lean towards Carson Wentz, but I think it's closer than maybe others would suggest. I don't think it's unanimous by any stretch. And you know, I think, and sometimes, and I know you and Dan have had spirited, and I think would have become mostly good-natured debates back and forth about Wentz versus Dak, is that if you told me I had to make the case for Wentz, it's a pretty simple thing for me to do. if he told me I had to make the case for Dak, it's also a pretty simple thing to do, right? So if you're in the corner of Dak, you point towards 64 starts in four seasons. Guy's got very good accuracy, an excellent threat with his legs, obviously a great leader, never misses time whatsoever. If you end up making the case for Wentz, it's probably has done more with less, has reached a higher ceiling during a singular season with that near MVP campaign, a guy who can create plays basically out of nothing and under duress. But I think sometimes it's really like we're talking about, you know, guys who belong in the conversation of somewhere between like the 5th and 10th best quarterbacks in the NFL, maybe 6th through 12th best quarterbacks in the NFL, depending on how they play on a given Sunday.
I like 5th through 10th a little bit better, and I like all your reasoning for Carson Wentz. The debate with Orlovsky is good-spirited, and I can recognize the arguments for Wentz. I like all of yours except for one, the have done more with less. He was on a Super Bowl-winning team, which suggests that roster was pretty good that he was playing with. I understand this past year his weapons had been depleted. Talk to me about Locke, though. Field Yates here on the Will Cain Show. There's a growing drumbeat, okay? And it's not just Denver writers, like you said, Tim Legwald, who picked Drew Locke. I hear others in the national media starting to get on this thing like, hey, Drew Locke might be really good, and he might take a big leap here. Why should we believe that?
Well, first of all, and you know, almost any coach will tell you this, that you expect the biggest performance leap from a player between this rookie and sophomore season. Now, that might not be the case as much this year because of the fact that players haven't been able to actually work out with their teams in any organized fashion other than Zoom meetings. So that could probably hinder several players' growth. I would think probably a lot of this is not just that Drew Locke played fairly well. The Broncos went 4-1 once he became the starter at the end of last season. And I think, though, if you look at the weapons, Will, just imagine if you were to helicopter any other quarterback into that offense. If you gave Patrick Mahomes, and not that the Chiefs don't have an awesome offensive cast themselves, but if you said to Patrick Mahomes, your new supporting cast is Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, Noah Fant, Melvin Gordon, Philip Lindsay, you'd be like, oh my God, how do you stop that team, right? So I think that the pieces are in place around Drew Locke. The big question mark for me in Denver is both tackles, but the pieces are largely in place for Denver to be a really good offensive team. He showed enough last year, and he's a guy that, you know, if he had been selected 14th and not 40th overall a year ago, it wouldn't have been a huge surprise. He just took a bit of a nosedive during the draft, which I think maybe altered expectations for him coming into the league. So I think it's fair to be more optimistic, but I'm certainly not ready to propel him ahead of a lot of other quarterbacks that I think have already shown us enough right away that on June 10th of 2020, they deserve to have the benefit of the doubt more so than Drew Locke.
You know what? I can't wait till August to see where you'll have Drew Locke ranked in your fantasy rankings. Field Yates.
I'm with you, Will.
ESPN. NFL insider and co-host of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. I'll be watching, Field. I'll be listening. Thank you, man.
Thanks, Will. Take care, bud.
All right. Let me go really quickly to the Shell Pinzo Performance Line. So I need to calm down, sideline Mike. We talked yesterday. You think I'm a little twisting off today?
Will, I'm going to say this up front. I love you, man. I do. I love you. But I'm going to give you a perspective of a 58-year-old black man born in Atlanta, Georgia. And what happens when you have a conversation like you have with that other young gentleman right there that's definitely younger than me, in their mind and in everybody's mind, nothing has been on our terms. Everything has been on our so-called oppressor's terms. So, and I will, you got young kids, you got a beautiful wife. Look, man, you got to live, brother. I could see that beautiful head of hair of yours on fire. I can see it all the way down here in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm like, Will, baby, come on, man. You got to, bruh, dial it down. I tell my two young sons that are 27 and 20, it's not what you say, it's how you say what you say.
I know it too, Mike. Will, I know it. I
Will,
know.
You got years ahead of you, man. There's a place for you. I'm going to follow you wherever you go. Will, just dial it down a notch, baby. Just dial it down a notch.
I appreciate it. I appreciate the advice, Alan, Mike. Thanks for the call. And I know it. I know sometimes. I mean, you know, I've literally seen the studies. Like, when somebody listens to you, you know what's even sadder than it's not how you what you say, but how you say it? I think I read one time, it's, what are the stats? It's like 80% how you look, 15% how you sound, and only 5% what you say. like what's going on in the listener's mind. So I understand when my, you know, anger rises up. And here's the thing, man. I made one promise to you guys, to be real. So if somebody calls in and tells me that I'm having a conversation is not the one he wants me to have right now, I'm not really ready and here for that. Everybody that listens to this show on a regular basis, black, white, left, right, knows I'm here for whatever conversation. Game time. That doesn't mean I'm going to kowtow and agree. That's not how I'm built, nor, more importantly, do I think that's what society needs, or, more importantly than that, is productive. I don't believe any of that. I think that's fraudulent BS. So I know that you know I've been here for that. And if I want to indulge for a moment, who's more famous, Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady, to be accused of becoming divisive? What I would suggest is I do not want to have a beer with you. Every once in a while, you gotta lighten it up, baby. Coming up, are we sure that USC is a tier one college football job? Would you leave, say, Texas A&M for USC? That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Napa Know How.
Father's Day knickknacks, that funny mug, ironic tie, or worse, IOU coupon books. It's time to get yourself something you want, Dad, like a Craftsman half-inch corded impact wrench for $99.99. It's the perfect gift to give to yourself. And while you're here, don't forget to shop all our great deals on Craftsman tools. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer ends 6/30/20.
Andrew from Illinois.
I've been listening to you a long time. For the first time, I actually totally agree with your viewpoint on a story.
Don't agree with Will? Not sure how that could happen. Call 888-SAY-ESPN now.
In fact, fill up those phone lines. I'll be getting to you in just a moment here on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Open forum coming up in just a little bit here on the Will Cain Show. But let us talk for a moment about college football. Fascinating article up on ESPN.com right now discusses what are the most prestigious jobs in college football. It's by Adam Rittenberg, ESPN senior writer, and he classifies college football programs and their jobs into tiers. You know I love tiers here on the Will Cain Show. And so it got us thinking, are you sure that if you were a coach at one of these tier two schools, you would trade up for all the schools that Adam has classified as tier one schools? Let me lay the groundwork for you. Here are the tier one programs in college football. This is the top of the mountain. This is presumably where once you land, you don't really go somewhere else. You've reached the top. That's Alabama, Clemson, Florida, Georgia, LSU, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Texas, and USC. Now, what goes into this? What makes you a Tier 1 program? Things like facilities, recruiting base, long-term or short-term success, he said. So that will give you credit for being good 30 years ago. It will also give you credit for being good within the last 5 years. And money. Are you supported by the administration, by their pocketbooks? Will you get paid? Will they give you the money to pay assistant coaches? Can you be put in the best position to succeed? With those factors placed into the pot, stirred around, mixed up, and cooked, you come up with those programs as your tier one programs. But I have a few questions. So first of all, I'm not 100% sure that Clemson is a tier one program. Now hear me out. It's not about how good Clemson is right now. It's rather, we have to envision this conversation in a post-Dabo Swinney world, right? You know who Big Cat is? He works at Barstool Sports. He's playing college football right now in the middle of the pandemic. He's playing video games. He's becoming a coach for various programs. He's got a fictional coach named Coach Duggs, and he's moved him around from Texas Tech to USC to Tennessee. And he's kind of playing the coaching carousel and seeing how good he can be. It's kind of fun when you think about where do you go from where to where. He went from head coach at Texas Tech to head coach at Tennessee. Makes sense, right? For what it's worth, Tennessee comes in at Adam's rankings as a tier three program, along with Nebraska. And he says in his article that Miami, which is also tier three, Nebraska and Tennessee were once tier one jobs. And it makes sense because I don't think Rittenberger even has Texas Tech in his tiers. He has Texas Tech as a tier 4 program. So that's moving up from tier 4 to tier 3. But you have to ask, which of these programs are tied not to a constant status of the program, but one coach who made them that? Is Clemson a tier 1 program without Dabo Swinney? The answer was no before. What will it be after? Penn State comes in as a tier 2 program. How much of that, though, is Joe Paterno? Look, James Franklin has been great. And by the way, he may move from a tier 2 program, Penn State, up to a tier 1 program at USC. But you can see some of these, even Florida State, who comes in at tier 2, is really a Bobby Bowden project. It hasn't been that great without Bowden. I know Jimbo Fisher won a national championship, but I also know that Jimbo Fisher left Florida State for Texas A&M. So you start playing this trade-up game. Who's tier 1, tier 2? And a couple of the programs that we focused on were, yes, Clemson. Are they truly tier 1, or is that just a reflection of Dabo? And then, of course, it's USC. The biggest underachievers in Adam's list that he says in tier 1 are Texas and USC. And I started to play the game with the guys. If you were Jimbo Fisher, you're at Texas A&M, would you trade Texas A&M for USC? Like, if they offered you the job, would you move from A&M to USC? I think the answer is yes, but that's a close call. Notre Dame, that's tier 2. Would you move Notre Dame for USC? I think the answer is no. Michigan, he has Michigan at tier 2. Would you move from Michigan to USC? I think the answer is no. So I don't think some of these are quite as neat and clean. Michigan, Notre Dame, these probably deserve to be a little bit higher. Clemson, USC, they might deserve to be a little bit lower. It's just fun to break down. Where would you go if given the opportunity? What would you trade in? What kind of program would arrive you at the top of the mountain? What's tier 1 and tier 2? Is USC a tier 1 program still? We'll talk to Peter Burns, ESPN's college football analyst, coming up on the Will Cain Show about this. Plus, we're going to reintroduce the Will Cain Show weekly quiz. Let's see how Burns does against yours truly in geography, history, and pop culture. Plus, your calls, 888-729-3776. That's all coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.